All right, we're continuing on in our series called It Takes Two, Thriving Biblical Relationships. We're going through and we're talking about marriage, we're talking about singleness, widows, and divorce. And we're going through these four areas and talking about this in our series here. And today we're going to be talking about widows and being widowed and what does Scripture say about that? What is our responsibility as men and women in the body of Christ to those that have been widowed? And so, but before we get into that, I want to review last week. If you weren't here last week, we talked about singleness, and we said last week that singleness is a gift. Don't squander it. Don't waste your time. And we talked about a few things that God has given you a great gift, just like He gives some to be married, and it says in Scripture, as Paul writes, that He's given some to be single. That's a gift, and in both areas, we're called to use it to honor Him. And then, and we wanted to highlight this last week too, that you're not less than, nor have you sinned, and God is punishing you if you're single. Sometimes singles think, well, you know, I'm not married, and boy, is God mad at me? Did I do something wrong? And the answer is no. God's given you a great gift for this season of your life. Don't squander it. God has handpicked you to steward the gift of singleness, and use that gift to honor Him and to spread His gospel to all those around you. And we finished last week talking about that in your singleness, He's calling you on an adventure of being dedicated to His plans. Being married is great. We talked about last week how being married, you know, if you're married, that sometimes you have other things. You have a spouse, kids, and needs like that, that are good things, honorable things to take care of. But sometimes those needs have to come before sometimes other plans. But when you're single, boy, God can direct you a lot sometimes faster and quicker to his people that are in need. And so so use that gift to honor Him. And then we ended with this. If you are single and you desire to get married, well, that's great too. Honor God in that. Honor God in that gift. But we wanted to highlight last week that singleness is a gift. Don't squander it. All right? And if you remember last week, we talked about how marriage is not over singleness or singleness is not over marriage, but marriage and singleness is together, side by side. Different unique callings and attributes in the kingdom, but they're equal in their calling. So today we're going to be talking about widows. And here's our theme for today is that widows, if you've been widowed in here, if you've lost your spouse, is this, that you have a defender and a family still. Sometimes I meet widows and they're like, oh, I'm all alone, I don't have anybody, or I'm all by myself, I'm trying to, you know, defend myself or take care of myself, and they feel alone. But today the Holy Spirit, and through the speaking the word, through Paul writes in 1 Timothy, He wants to encourage you that you have a defender and you still have a family. That you're not alone. And if you've noticed this whole series, we've been talking about It Takes Two. And every week we highlight that in whatever area you're in, you're not alone. You always have Jesus. And Jesus gave you also brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to walk alongside of you. And so today we're going to be talking about just widows. Just a short, simple message here about widows. Now, if you have read the New Testament and read through the epistles in 1 Timothy, you know that Paul writes a lot about taking care of widows. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of verses of widows that talks about God's rule to those that are widowed. And so let's look at these. There are going to be a few here on your screen here. First is this. In Psalms 146:9, it says, "The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked He brings to ruin." And then in Proverbs 15:25, it says, "The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries." And then going on further in Isaiah, in the opening chapter, God's critique, His rebuke to the nation of Israel, that they had walked away from His commands and His precepts. And what were some of His rebuke? Here's what it was. In verse 17, He says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case." In antiquity, many of you know that if you were a woman and you were widowed, you were in a tough position. You were without either a husband for protecting you, without a source of income at times, and you were on your own. A lot of times, the court systems and the local governments and the kings would exploit those that were defenseless or those that were widow. And so Isaiah here, writing through the Holy Spirit, is critiquing Israel that they were letting widows be devoured, letting widows be exploited, and that God was really angry about that. And God was like, enough of that. That my people should not be doing that. They should fight for the widow's cause and for the fatherless. And then in Malachi 3:5, this is through the prophet Malachi of what the Lord was saying. He says, "Then I will draw near to you for judgment." Listen, God was going to come near Israel because once again Israel had walked away from the commands and precepts of God the Father. He says, "I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Now we're bringing up these Old Testament scriptures to lay the foundation, the groundwork, that the God we serve, Jesus, who we just sang about, who paid our price, that God the Son, God the Father, they care about widows. They care about the orphans, the fatherless, those that are less than, those that society would want to exploit, that he says to us that we must care for them, that he will avenge them, he will defend them. And any one of those that tried to exploit the widows, that God the Father was going to come and he would have vengeance on them. Now, that's pretty heavy, all right? I mean, that's a sobering thought. But today I want to remind us that we just can't say we love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. And then you see widows and singles over here that are in need, and you say, oh, I'm not going to worry about that. Oh, you know what? They're getting taken advantage of. Oh, that's not my responsibility, because I just love Jesus. I'm going to spend all day with Jesus and read my Bible over here. No, we have to read our Bible, spend time with Jesus, but we must go and defend and stand up for the widows. And we're going to read here in 1 Timothy here, chapter 5. So turn with me there. Oops, before we get there, sorry, one more verse. James 1:27. Which we all know, this half the brother of the Lord, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So these are some big verses on widows in the Bible and what we are called to do and how we're supposed to serve them. So turn with me to 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 16. We're gonna read it here. And so it won't be on your screen, but since it's a longer passage of Scripture, but let's read it. There we go. Verse number 1, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Verse 9, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let's pray, church. Father, in these next few moments, we just ask that you would illuminate your word in our heart and mind and our soul. God, we just pray that your word would be spoken, not my ideas or my words, but God, may you encourage the body here. That God, we will care for those less fortunate than us or those that are in need. God, may we protect the widows. May we not exploit them. But God, may the church, God, do our role, God. What you call us to do, to take care of those in need. And Jesus, we pray this all in your strong name. Amen. And amen. So in this passage here, it's not a long passage, but this is the most the longest passage we have in the New Testament about widows and what is the church's role in caring for widows here. And so let's go through this here. Let's just break this down very simple here. In verse 3, Paul writes, he says, honor widows who are truly widows. Church, we are called to honor those in our congregation who are widows. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever met someone who's came up to you and says, man, I'm poor, I'm broke, and you know they weren't poor or broke? You ever been there? Yeah, some of us, right? As a pastor, I get a lot of requests for help. Now, a lot of requests from outside of our church. But a lot of times I have people coming in, and they're decked out to the nines. the newest iPhone. They got brand new Nike Airs that are like $300. I mean, they've got finer clothes than me. They roll up in a nice car. There's nothing wrong. Hear me. There's nothing wrong about any of this stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But they come in, they're like, oh, I'm destitute. Oh, I've got my last piece of bread here. And we start talking, and I mean, they sometimes make more money than some of you make. And I look at them, I think to myself, are you truly in need? Paul starts off here saying that sometimes in the church, there's people that are really in need, and there's those that aren't in need, and they're somewhat faking it, and they're not taking responsibility, which the Lord calls us to provide for ourselves, provide for those in our household, but they're being lazy and, in essence, mooching off the church and mooching off brothers and sisters in the faith. But on the other hand, there are true widows, even in our church, and those that are in the community, in the kingdom of believers here in Siouxland, that are truly destitute, are truly suffering and lacking of things. And we are to test and look at who are truly widows and who are those that need to get up, work, get a job, take care of themselves, you know, balance their checkbook, maybe get some financial counseling, maybe get some help to deal with past hurts and pains. That there's a difference. And Paul starts all this dialogue here about there's a difference between those who are widows and those who are truly widows. They have nothing. All they have is God the Father, and they're clinging to God to provide for all their needs that they have. Now, he goes on to here to say in verse 4 and 5, he says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. And all the parents said, amen, yeah, my kid needs to take care of me and get back to me. But what Paul's setting up here is that those that have family relations are supposed to provide for their aging parents or their widowed parents. It's very sad to see in the church, and how many of you have seen a mom or dad that become a widow and the kids walk away from that? Walk away from them. They're in need. Jesus spoke about this. Remember when Jesus confronted the people that said, hey, you say, oh, whatever's Corbin, whatever I was supposed to give my mom and dad, if I devote that to God, then no, whatever, what happens to them, it doesn't matter because I'm going to give this to God. Jesus said, no. He said, first, honor your father and mother. And right here, Paul reminds the church that if you have a widow in your family, you're supposed to take care of them. How many of us, at times, I've been guilty of this, I've put off my responsibility in the church. Oh, the government can take care of that. You know, God bless America. We have every social program there is out there. Well, the government can take care of that. Oh, Woodbury County can take care of that. Oh, Sioux City can take care of that need. And we, the church, we sit down and we're like, well, we're good. We're going to worship Jesus, read our nice Bibles, and we're good. But God the Father says, no, you as the body, my hands and feet extended are responsible for taking care of your family and for those in need that are in the body of Christ. Paul reminds us here that we have a responsibility and that when we shirk that responsibility, that we actually bring a bad name to the name of Jesus. And we actually begin to walk away from this and other areas of the things we're responsible for. I've seen it many times before, and I don't know about you, you've seen someone that starts shirking the responsibility. They say, well, I don't need to pray, Pastor Dan. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go serve. I don't need to forgive someone. And all of a sudden, what do you see? You see a million little decisions, and they keep stepping back from Jesus. And now they're a million steps away from Jesus. It's just little by little increments. In church today, there's a lot of widows in Siouxland that the church, we are called to take care of. Now, in the scripture here, as we read it in its entirety, he talks first that their own family members are to take care of people. And then it says later on that the church, look at verse 16, it says, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let not the church be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Now, this verse 16, it's not limited just to widows within our church. In antiquity, during the first century of the church, with Roman and Greek culture, it was common for even the most pagan, most anti-Jesus Roman or Greek to care for those that were the destitute. It was almost a badge of honor to care for the widows, to care for the poor. Now, they did it out of selfish motives, right, to get praise and to look good out in the public eye. But it was a common what would you call it? A common thought, a common moral good of anybody to take care of the widows. And right here in verse 16, Paul is reminding the church that we, the church, should be caring for the widows of Siouxland. In our household first, start here in the house of God, but then go out and to care for those that are truly widows. If you look right here, there is no limitation. Paul doesn't say, hey, only care for the widows that are in your church, that belong here. He says, care for those who are truly widows. The implication goes beyond just these four walls here at Cross Point Church. Let's look here at verse 7. Look at verse 7 here. He says, command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Taking care of the widows is a testimony to the world. It's a testimony. Now, many of you think, well, Pastor Dan, we've been talking about this year about sharing the gospel. Some of you say, well, sometimes I get nervous about going up and, you know, going up to somebody at Walmart. Hey, can I pray for you? Or can I tell you about Jesus? But this is the way that you can testify to the world that Jesus has transformed your mind, your heart, and soul by caring for the widows, caring for those in our community that have been widowed and by themselves and that either maybe been exploited or don't have means to take care of themselves. Maybe their income has diminished in their own Social Security and they've lost their husband's income. This is a way for you to shine like stars, as it says, and to show that Jesus is real and that we go out, we take care of those in need. Look at verse 9 here. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she's brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, and cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Verse 11 goes on to say, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. So right here in these couple of verses here, let's point a few things out. Paul is saying that to take care of the widows is first we must look at some of the qualifications. Has she been faithful to serve, to give, take care of her family? Once again, I go back to some of the requests that we get at the church. And sometimes when I talk with people, I've asked them, well, what have you done first to take care of your family? What have you done to put yourself in a better situation? And they're like, well, nothing. I'm sitting at home. I'm waiting for the government to take care of me. I'm waiting for the church to give me something. Have you sought a financial help counsel? No. Have you went to a job placement services? Well, no. And I go through the list, and I'm like, wow. You're not taking some of those steps. You've not been faithful with the little you've been given in your life. Remember, Jesus says, remember, to who is faithful with little will be given more. And if you're not faithful with a lot, you're not going to be given a lot. And that's a hard truth sometimes, especially in our American culture. We are becoming vastly more of a give me, provide, I can do less and less, I need more and more for the government or other social agencies to take care of me. But church, I want to encourage us through the word right here. Paul reminds us that there those who are supposed to be served by the church should have a testimony of serving and giving. Not perfect, right? It doesn't say that they're perfect in here. But if a widow's in here in our own body right here, if she wasn't faithful and all that, Paul says, now hold up, you need to talk to her, test that, and see why weren't you faithful? Why aren't you serving? Why aren't you giving? What reputation precedes you here? He goes on to verse 11. He says, refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry. Now, if we stop right there, we think to ourselves from reading in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, wait, it's good for you to marry. But now he's saying, he's saying it's not good for you to marry, stay single. Now he's saying, hey, get married. So is there a contradiction in Scripture? The answer is no, and here's why. We have to remember that Paul is writing, in the first century AD, he's writing to a Roman and Greco textualization. And in that culture, when a woman would marry her husband, she would take on whatever religion that man had, whatever faith it was. Or whatever he believed, she would have to follow that. Now, in here, women were getting saved in this church, and where Timothy is at, in the area there in Turkey, when people are getting saved. Men and women are getting saved. They're leaving their ways of paganism, following the Greek gods, the Roman gods. They're coming over to the one true God. And yet, some of them had lost a husband, or they were never married, and they wanted to get married. And all of a sudden, some of them that were married, husband died, and he's saying in this, a lot of times, the desires to either, A, to have companionship or for intimacy or for whatever reasons draw them back into a life of saying, you know what, I'm going to go back to that former faith. I'm going to turn away from Christ, maybe marry a man that's not following Jesus, that follows some other pagan god. And this is what Paul is alluding to here, when they're widowed young, and now that they want kids, or they need a protector, they need income, and boy, you know, Mr. Hercules, he comes, he's all nice, and oh man, he's a nice Greek guy, and boy, he is, you know, handsome, he got money, but he's saying, I've got to follow this and turn away from Christ. We've all been there, right? We felt that desire of temptation, and we slowly, here's Jesus and his commands, but we're really tempted. And he's saying, hold on now. He's saying, hold on to, you know, we've got to encourage these widows, stay faithful to Christ. And if you're feeling that temptation for family or intimacy, it's not wrong. It's just got to be placed in the right avenue. It's got to be placed in the right context to honor God in all things. He's saying, encourage them to get married so that, remember he said in 1 Corinthians, we talked about last week, it's better to get married than to burn with passion. And he's kind of saying the similar train of thought that, hey, wait a minute, don't just turn away and follow something else. Look at verse 13 here. He says, besides that, he goes, these young widows, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have the younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Some of you in here are widows, and you're older. And guess what? You do that well. You're faithful to Christ. You honor Christ in all the things you do. Some of you are single in here, and you honor Christ well, right? You're not running around having a hookup every week. You're honoring God, right? It's in the church, right? Church culture needs to be called out, right? It's okay. Right? Some of you are married and you're faithful to your spouse and you honor God in that and you give a good testimony to the world. But Paul's saying here that, hey, if you're young and if you're a widow and you want to get married or those desires are, that's okay. And that you should do that so that the world has a testimony so that they don't see someone that was widowed serving Christ and along came Mr. Hercules and they said, peace out, Jesus. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go give me some pleasure. And now they've denied the faith that they said has redeemed them or the Savior that they were going to follow. Paul's saying, hold on. In all of our relationships, we need to bring honor to God. Whether you're married, single, divorced, or widowed, we must honor God above all things. And so he's reminding us there that we don't want to stray and we don't want to give Satan any occasion for slander. And I want to encourage us, whether you're here, you're married today here, you're single, or you're a youth here, don't give Satan any occasion to slander you or slander the name of Jesus. Church, we got to be smarter. We're better than that. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We know what God calls us to do. We know that marriage can be hard. Amen. Every married people said amen. We know that singleness can be hard. And everyone, if you're single, you can say amen. We know being a widow can be hard at times. But in all things, God the Father reminds us that he gives us his Spirit and that I'm with you. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Take heart. You can overcome any situation or desire or temptation. I'm with you, my children. And we need to honor God in this. And so Paul is reminding the widows here, as Timothy's the young pastor in the young church there in Ephesus, in modern-day Turkey, he's saying, hey, encourage those to honor the widows that are okay with being widowed. They're older. They're okay. They don't want to get married again, but they just want to devote themselves to Christ. Honor them. Take care of them. Let them be an example. For those younger widows that want to get married again and they're just sitting around and they're starting to go around and be busybodies and fret away their time and not do anything productive for the kingdom, he's Paul saying, hey, it's all right, get married, do something, go and have kids, manage a household. Many of us forget that actually in the Greek culture, the Greek wife in the culture, she was the ruler of the household. She was very respected. She ran it. She was the mama bear in the house. I mean, the husbands were like, okay, hey, what do you want to do? And she was like, for the house, this is what we're doing. So there was not always a negative view of being married or a woman running the house or organizing the house in antiquity. And Paul is reminding them that saying, hey, get married, honor God in all things. And I want to remind us, let's look at verse 16 again here. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. If you have people in your family that are widows and need help, church, you are responsible for them. You are. You're to do that. You're to work extra. You're to save, make a budget, help them out, or serve them, help go clean their house, help them take them to their doctor's appointments, or whatever it is. You are called, church. Not myself for this situation, or not anyone else, not the government, not Woodbury County, not Sioux City. You are. Church, we cannot shirk our duties. If you remember from week one, we talked about when we abandon our relationship rules, we all suffer. When we abandon the rules God's called us to do, people suffer. There's many widows that have suffered in the kingdom and in the churches because their family members have not taken this admonition to go out and to serve and take the word of God seriously, that you are recalled to that. It breaks my heart. How many of you have seen it? It breaks my heart to see grown kids abandon their parents, or the dad's widowed or the mom's widowed, and they abandon them, and they don't go help them. It breaks my heart. And these people say, well, I love Jesus. I'm all in for Jesus. And yet your mom and dad are suffering. I want to be like, man, we need to call that out, church, and say, you don't take Scripture seriously. You don't take your relationship with Jesus seriously. And so first and foremost, if you're here today, take care of those that are in your family. Secondly, church, that's all of us now. We are called to take care of the widows that are truly widows. Those that have no one else, if they don't have relatives and family, and they're truly seeking God, and they're truly in need, church, we are called to help them. And so here's my challenge for us. If you know someone who is a widow in our community, in Siouxland, here on the west side, that's they're truly in need, come talk to me. Come bring it to one of our deacons, one of our leadership team. And let's help people. We have been amply resourced here at the church and blessed. Now, you might think, well, Pastor Dan, does that mean we have just a bucket of money overflowing? Well, we do in Jesus' name, right? Now, we don't have millions, but I'm going to challenge us as we prayed this morning in our growing deeper prayer that we need to have a provision mindset that our God says, I will provide all your needs according to my riches in Christ's glory. We can care for the widows. And if we do our job to follow Scripture, God's going to make sure that he shows up and provides us with the things we need to take care of those in need. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean we'll have millions or have every ample thing we need, but God will always supply. And many of you know, if you've walked with Jesus for many years, he will supply at the right time with the right need, with the right thing you need. And church, that's what we're going to do. Right now, we want to take care of the widows. So if you know someone, come see me. Or if you know a widow that's in your family and you need to take care of it, I would encourage you today, do not delay. Obey the word of God and go serve that widow. Now you may think, well, Pastor Dan, I'm in need myself. Well, ask the God that supplies all of our needs to provide for you. This scripture doesn't caveat, it says, well, if you're in need or just lost your job or you got a broken foot and it doesn't put any caveats into that. It just says, if you have someone in your family, serve them, take care of them. Church, we need to stop making excuses inside and outside the church and take care of widows. Church, we are the second person in the relationship to take care of the widows. We are that in essence, that person that walks alongside of them, that it takes two, that they're not alone. We need to be with them. I want to end with this, encourage us with this. Faith does not set aside natural duties, but strengthens them. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Dan, I'm all in for Jesus. I'm committed disciple of Jesus. I'm all in. But your family is lacking. No, I would question that. I would question that. Now, you don't have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect in serving our families. But if you claim Jesus, our faith in Christ should strengthen, and it does, our natural duties to serve one another tenderheartedly. Just like Jesus said, you who are good know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you? If you claim Jesus, you should be more willing to give good gifts, to help out your family, to those in need, the widows, the single, the married people. And so I want to encourage us today that if your faith in Jesus, if you have faith and you're not helping people in your family, you need to spend some time with you and Jesus alone in your prayer closet and say, God, search my heart. See if there's any unclean way inside of me, as King David said. Because our faith today, church, should be strengthening us to take care of the widows. God loves widows. As we read those verses in the Old Testament, God is their defender. Woe to America. Woe to Sioux City. Woe to Woodbury County if we ever exploit and push down the widows. God will have his day in his vengeance. And church, he doesn't want us to incur that wrath because we know better. We have the power of the Spirit to illuminate the word and to take care of the widows. And so widows today, you have a defender and you have a family still. If you know someone that's a widow outside the church today, encourage them with these words, that you have a mighty God who will defend you. Sometimes you're going through the storms, it may not look like it, but the God the Father is there. And then secondly, tell the widows, hey, we're your family. Crosspoint, your family. Sioux City First, Elevate Church, Morningside, Sunnybrook Church. We're the family. We're gonna surround you, widows. We're your family. Be with them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Serve them. And once again, if you know a widow in need, please come see me or one of our deacons. We don't want to just be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers, putting the word into action. And so with that, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. And let's just take a moment and just pray for those that are widows here and even our own community. Father, we come before you and we say thank you that, God, we are in your family. God, we are so grateful that we never are without relationship with you. As Psalm says, where can we go from your spirit? Down in the depths or on the highs of the clouds, Jesus, you are always with us. So we say thank you that we always have family, that we're always together. God, we pray for the widows right here in the west side, on the north side, the east side, South Sioux City, North Sioux City. God, we pray for those that, God, that are truly widows, that, God, are struggling or they're lonely. God, we pray that today you would send us Jesus as your hands and feet to them. God, may our eyes be open. May our ears be attentive to their needs and to their cries and to their relationship. God, to their needs, excuse me, for relationship. God, I pray that you'd send Crosspoint Church today, Jesus. God, may we be practical in going out with the gospel. God, may we go with you, with the gospel in one hand and with love and companionship in the other, God, to them. And tell them about your son and why we are compelled to go. And Jesus, we just pray that, God, you would help those widows. God, help them in their health, help them in their finances, help them to have, God, a warm place to stay, God, a healthy place to stay, God, a little apartment or a little room. God, I pray that you would direct us. And God, we ask, God, for supernatural provision, that, God, we can go out and take care of your creation. God, help us to be generous and lavishly, God, help others and to give to others as you have lavishly poured your love on us. God, may we turn that back and praise and service to the widows of Woodbury County here in Siouxland. God, we say thank you, God, for all the widows in our fellowship. God, we say thank you for their testimonies. God, we pray, God, over them. We pray that, God, you would bless them, encourage them. God, we pray that, God, you take them on wild, awesome journeys for you, Jesus. May you use them mightily, God, to bring more people into the kingdom and to make heaven more crowded. God, we pray that you'd give them words of wisdom and knowledge and discernment. God, use them to encourage the younger woman, to encourage the younger men to stay faithful and true, and to honor you, God, in every relationship that we're in. And Jesus, we just say thank you for them. And we pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen. And amen.